Yvonne, who is going to talk about QR codes today, and it's the whole reason I'm chairing these sessions today, so no pressure, Andy.
Hello everyone then. As Rosie says, I'm going to talk about QR codes today. Really unusually for me, I haven't planned any interactive stuff for this session. So I'm going to change my mind about that. And I'm going to make you do something at the start that I haven't planned. Because I'm flagging after some lots of stuff happening today. And I'm sure some of you are too. So can you all stand up, please? And can you stay stood up if you have an idea of what QR codes are already? Stood up if you knew what QR codes were before you read me abstract. Right, so what we've got, 2, 4, 6, 8. Right, thank you. Sit down. So nearly a third of you, that's quite good. You know, that's sort of well above the average population's awareness of what these things are. And this is one of the problems we've got with QR codes, the whole awareness of them. So I'm going to tell you a bit today about what QR codes actually are. I've passed a little handout around, hopefully you've all got, which will sort of tell you how you can try and install one of these on your phone, and a sample QR code for you to try. I'll talk about some of the things we've done with them at the University of Huddersfield, and sort of how they've gone over the last year. The reason I've been playing with them for just under a year at Huddersfield is because the University Teaching and Learning Committee gave me a small pot of money to play with them. So I bought out some of my time and paid for a certain amount of sort of competition prizes and bits and pieces like that. So I've had freedom that otherwise wouldn't have had to play with these things. So QR codes, short for quick response codes, and it was a company called Denso Wave in Japan that came up with them. Denso Wave are a subsidiary of Toyota, and they make all sorts of car components for them, and they have all these things whizzing all over their factories and warehouses, not just in Japan but all over the world, and they wanted a better way of tracking where things were going and where they came from and sort of all the extra sort of information that sort of working in manufacturing companies in my past life we couldn't get a hold of. They wanted to get something extra, embed a lot of extra information into those parts. So they looked at various options, and what lots of people will use is just a simple barcode, which can encode a small amount of information, because it's one-dimensional, it just goes sort of left to right. Their idea was to use a two-dimensional one, so as well as going left to right, you go up and down as well. So in something sort of that sort of size, you can encode a lot more information than you would be able to do in a standard barcode. So they could put all sorts of information in terms of sort of, you know, where this thing came from and where it was going next and who worked on it. And they meant loads of information. For some reason, they decided to be really nice about it and share it with the whole world. And because of that, there's now an international standard for these QR codes, which everybody can freely use. They don't have to pay Denso Wave anything for it. And lots of people have created free QR code readers and QR code generators using this standard. So you can get all these free applications, and because they follow the international standard, they should all work okay with each other. So it's sort of easy to get hold of. There's lots of demonstrations on how QR codes work. I'd normally, if I was to do something like this, I'd bring lots of phones and dish them around, but because I don't have data roaming on any of them, I can't show you how they work. But there are demonstrations on things like YouTube. The link I've put on my slides is a George Clooney lookalike for some of you to enjoy, showing how QR codes work. And the main reason I've been interested in using them, and the reason our Teaching and Learning Committee gave me a chunk of money to play with them, is because I was interested in using them to embed information around the library so we could deliver sort of context-appropriate information to people. So in the law section of the library, you can get stuff appropriate to law in a little thing that doesn't take up much space. They're easy to throw about, easy to throw lots of them about in the library. So that's what they look like, this weird thing here. What do they actually do? You have a free application on your phone that will decode them, and it'll tell your phone that either it's a set of contact details. So if you go to a sort of techie conference, you might have people with business cards that's just one laminated card with a QR code on, that people can wave the phone at and just automatically import their contact details into the contact list. It can prompt your phone to ring a number, prompt your phone to send a text message. So we have a text to librarian service. It can sort of put that number in, put the keyword we need at the start, and then they can type the question away and it automatically gets to us. It can just display bare text, so it's something that you don't need a connection, either data or normal phone connection for. And it can link to a web address, which is probably the most interesting things you can do with it. As I say, it's all free applications. I think I might show you how to actually create one now, just to show you sort of how easy it is to do. So we'll see if Google works, because Google's our friend. I said, tons of free stuff here. So I'm just going to search for QR code generator and see what it comes up with. Oh, that in my list. Whoops. Type. There we are. QR code generator. And lots of on the first page, lots of free resources. So I'll just click on the first one, just to be fair. It asks me what type of QR code I want, whether it's one that links to a web address or a phone number or whatever. They often come up with different options here depending on the QR code generator. If I do a link to these slides, so I've got the address here. Type in the URL, told it, I want it to be a URL. You have the option of size for most of these things, because you want them to be as sharp as possible, so you want an idea of sort of vaguely what size they're going to be if you're going to print them out. So let's say extra large, say, and generate. And there's the QR code. So if I opened application on my phone, open the application on my phone, it'll hijack my camera, and if I waved it in the direction of that QR code, probably won't pick it up, that's odds and all, but it'll pick it up and try to go to that web address. So it's that easy and it's that free to generate a QR code. It doesn't cost you anything in time or money. The one thing to be aware of for QR code generators is that there's sort of probably two different flavours of them out there. This particular one, it will generate the sort of QR code you ask for, and it will be free. Certain bits of software will try to charge you to get usage statistics off them, if that makes sense. And they'll redirect everything you put in there to one of their web pages with that information on it. So there's sort of straightforward QR code generators, and there's ones that sort of be sneaky about it and put the content on one of their web pages and redirect to that so that they can charge you to say, oh, who's visiting this site. So there's sort of slight note of caution to have a look at any of your finds so you're aware of which service you're going for. They both work fine, they both do the job, it's just the being aware that there's that difference. So that's the sort of things you can do with them, and that's how easy it is to create one of them. So what have we used them for at Huddersfield? I had just under a year-long project to see how they worked, see what we could do with them. So we've tried as many possible different things as we could, just to see what people liked, what they didn't like, and to get an idea of what we could do going forwards. And essentially, anywhere there's a bit of flat space, whether that's physical space or on a web page, you can stick them in. So we stick them all over the place. Stick them on printed handouts, shelf ends, signage, sort of some desk space, and on our library catalogue. And I'll show you the sort of uses we've got over the next few pages. So this was the very first thing we used them for. Has anyone heard of Dave Patton, who works with Sourcefield? Yeah, but he's quite well known and he's quite good at tinkering with our catalogue. So we said, oh, it would be quite nice if we could have them on our catalogue record, because we see people in the library that have written down the wrong details off the catalogue record and failed to find the book because of it. And we've got anecdotal evidence that people have tried to get around that by snapping the catalogue with a camera phone. So I thought, you know, it's a logical first step for QR codes, because it's almost identical to taking a snap using a QR code. So this is a way to get people to take the catalogue record with them. And I think it took Dave Pat about 15 minutes to come up with this and put it on the live catalogue. It was a free bit of code from Google that he essentially cut and pasted into our catalogue. So anyone can do this sort of really easily. Another thing we tried was to link to e-books. We picked, I think it was 10 sort of key texts on one of the floors of the library, where we got loads of multiple copies of it, but they're often out. Whenever we get to assignment time, they're out. So I put laminated sheets with a picture of the book cover on one side and a QR code on the other, just to see if people would try to use them, see if people would go for them, with a little bit of explanation on the bottom of the page to say what a QR code actually is. We had them slapped on various desks. So this is by our library catalogue, so that is probably linked to our text to librarian service. So if they have a problem searching the library catalogue, they can scan one of these and automatically sort of send us a question by text message, and we'll try and answer quickly for them. So you can see sort of how small and unobtrusive they are here. You know, you can slap them all over the place, and the entire cost is a fraction of a penny for a sticker. We've put them next to all our printed journals on a couple of floors of the library, linking to our link resolver for each journal. So people can wander around the physical printed journals, wave the camera phone at one of these codes, and automatically get told if we've got that journal available electronically, and get put through to be able to search for it electronically. Shelf ends are a lovely big chunk of space to fill up, so I've got various things on shelf ends. This particular one is by our printed legislation that nobody touches. So instead we've got a link to a web page which has all the UK legislation freely available online. So instead of going to the books that they don't want to anyway, they can just do it on the phone. And so getting into the things that are probably more interesting for the information literacy stuff, use it on various handouts. So on printed handouts, I've got links to further resources on our web pages, links to mobile-friendly videos, and links to sort of quizzes to test knowledge. And this is a link to a video on YouTube on how to use our print credit machine, because we often found that using bits of kit like this often confuses people, and they'll come and ask if they're confident enough to come and ask us, or if we're there, because we're open late nights, well, we're not always staffed, so they can wave the phone at that and get a really short little video on how to use that bit of equipment that they're stood in front of. as I said, probably the last two are sort of the more interesting things for information. Which is, and that doesn't work, does it? Because that's a link.
No,
but it doesn't
might
matter.
Have to, yeah.
That was just to show you that I've used YouTube videos a lot of the time as a mobile-friendly format for delivering these sorts of things, and it's letting us deliver sort of bite-sized chunks of teaching at times and places where we wouldn't normally be able to get hold of the students. So we could have a handout that we give at the end of a teaching session about searching for journals, and they'll take that away, they'll forget everything we said in the session. Hopefully they'll get that handout out at a later point when they'll actually need to search for journals for an assignment, and you can have, that was going to be Peter Godwin popping up to talk about journals, you can have someone's resource or your own resource embedded in it to deliver a little bit of interactive teaching at a time that the students actually want it, rather than the time that they've been timetabled to come and talk to you. And I also have lots of little mobile-friendly quizzes embedded in handouts as well. So if people chose to interact with this extra handout, they had something that might suit a different learning style, something that might reinforce the teaching. Just something more than a boring bit of paper that we give out. So I've showed you how to create one and sort of showed you some of the things that they could be used for. And I've sort of vaguely hoped to show you how it works on my phone by waving it at one of these codes. But how do people sort of actually use them themselves? That they have to download a little application to their phone, and the easiest method is using Google again. I typed in QR code generator to get a generator. Type in QR code reader and you get lots of readers. But they're normally listed on their web pages, all the different models of phone they'll work with. So if you Google QR code reader and the model of a phone, there's a fair chance on the first page you'll come up with one that's suitable for your phone. Does anyone want to give me a model of phone they've got here and I'll see if it works?
Palm tree.
I think it won't work, so that's from the sample, will it? Oh. There we are. So, even though I've typed it in wrong, I've put the space between palm and tree. It's come up at the top, one that will almost definitely work with the palm tree. So it's really easy to find these things. There's a slight stumbling block in the you need to have a data connection on your phone to easily download them. If you don't, you can sync them with a PC most of the time, but it's a bit more awkward. The other way, other than Google, is to go a website like, I've listed on this little handout, the TigTags website, which if you visit on a mobile phone, on a mobile browser, it will pick up what phone you're accessing it from and suggest sort of straight away what readers are available for that model of phone. So it's fairly easy to get hold of. There's probably two barriers to them being used. There's downloading this little reader, but before that there's knowing what they are in the first place, because you see these things and we did exit surveys and whatnot. And when people see this, the most common answers to what they are is that it's one of these magic eye pictures. You know, the look of the dolphins popping out. You know, we need a square one to go again. So getting across what they actually are in the first place is a big barrier of use. And we thought of doing sort of worthy handouts and sort of education of the students and why these would be beneficial with them. But we thought, nah, we can't. So instead, we tried for curiosity and greed to get them. We had quite vague posters and leaflets all over the university saying, you can win £100 if you play with one of these. And one of these posters did was led off to the start of a treasure hunt started at our Ask a Librarian desk, there was a leaflet that said that had the instructions for the treasure hunt on and a secret word embedded in it and a clue to where you might find QR codes with more secret words embedded. So you had to go around and find up to 10 of these sort of QR codes, competition QR codes with secret words in. If you texted seven or eight of these secret words to a central number, you got entered into a prize draw to win £100. So we thought that would be a killer. You know, we thought they'd really like to use that, but it didn't really. No, we didn't have a lot of entries to the competition, and I don't know why. I talked to some students who said, well, we see a lot of these sort of competitions and we think nobody wins. So I don't know if there's an element of that or that they just couldn't be bothered to download a read from the phone. But despite the fact that we didn't have a lot of competition entries, the promotion we did, which was based primarily on this competition, seemed to make a difference. We did an exit survey roughly this time last year. That was an entry survey as people came into the library, and I nabbed everyone I could walking into the library on one day and said, do you know what that is? And about 8% sort of had a vague idea that it was some sort of code you used your phone to translate, you know, but most of the time not knowing it was called a QR code, but I had an idea what it was. So 8% a year ago. At the end of last summer, we started throwing them all over the library. So they're all over the place for the start of our autumn term. And we had one full term of sort of them being accessible for people to use. At the start of the spring term, therefore, after they've been around for a term, I did that same survey again. So I said, what's this then? Outside the library one day. And 22% said they knew what they were. And there was an extra 11% that said, I don't know, but I've seen them all over the place. So maybe a third in total had a vague awareness of them. But definitely more than one in five had a really clear idea that it was some sort of code that prompted your phone to do stuff. So we didn't think that was too bad in terms of raising awareness. After one term, which implies that if we pushed it, we could sort of up that awareness a lot more over a period of a year or so. But did that sort of awareness actually translate into anybody using them? Which we suspected not anyway, because we had very few entries for the competition. And it didn't. When we looked at the access to the electronic books through the QR codes, they were accessed between 1 and 16 times, depending on the book, and most of them were 2 or 3. And you've got to bear in mind that when I produced the cards, I scanned them once. So that one that was scanned once was me when I did it. So it was really, really poor usage for the electronic books, even though the books from Dawson Era, which delivered them as PDFs, that's a fairly mobile-friendly format. So people were interested. Accessing electronic books. Running to the electronic journals, it looks slightly better at 22 scans of them, which again is about one or two will have been me setting them up, so about 20 times over several hundred journals, so it's not quite so good when you think it's several hundred journals. Probably not interested in using that either. Then we got onto the mobile friendly videos, and that looked a bit better. So we did various videos, so some were ones we produced in-house anyway that we just put in a mobile-friendly format, and some were external videos that we repurposed. And they were viewed between sort of 21 times and 140. And at all, one of the floors was the most popular, which was at the top of the stairs, just as you came on the floor, it was stuck to the sort of signage as you walked on the floor. And that's sort of one of the few areas in the library you can talk on a mobile phone. So we suspect that people were stood there for half an hour chatting to the mates and was staring at this code on the wall. And so they bothered to investigate it afterwards and scanned them and had at least a brief look at it. And last of all, the QR code on the catalogue was scanned 125 times, which probably isn't too bad. So we sort of backed that up with some feedback directly from students, because I did some mobile focus groups with students and vaguely asked them about QR codes as part of it. The general feeling from those focus groups was sort of summed up by one person that started off by saying, well, they have potential, but... And then listed a whole long list of things as why they wouldn't work for them. And that was the general thing. People saying, oh, they have potential, or they're really futuristic, they're a really good idea, and then told us why they wouldn't possibly use them themselves, and none of their mates would either. So they were saying things like they were too complicated, there's too many things to go wrong, they were worried about being charged for data charges, and this was somebody with an iPhone that said that, so they had no issues with data charges, but there was still that sort of concern there. And one person said, well, at the end of the day, I just don't think enough people can use them. So the students were quite down on them in general. And the usage was sort of relatively poor. So but we tried all sorts of different things over the last year. It was sort of a bit of a scattered approach. So we suspect...
Minutes for questioning, if you're really short.
So we suspect that what we should be doing over the next year is focusing down a lot. We're going to carry on with the QR codes and the catalogue, because they don't cost us anything and they're being used, and focus sort of with the other uses of QR codes on things like worksheets and handouts we're going to give to people. Because there was some interactivity with the videos we were producing. And we produce a lot of stuff with that anyway. I think it's good practice to make sure they're mobile friendly. So it's not going to be a big issue us using them in that way. It will only take up that much space at the bottom of a handout. And just sort of see if the usage picks up over the next year or so, as the awareness sort of slowly builds up as well. So we focus on those two little things. But I also want to play with something more interesting over the next year or so, which is if QR codes were delivering sort of context-appropriate help to people, I'd quite like to play about with the RFID tags we have in all our student cards. So delivering help not appropriate to the context of the study necessarily, but context-appropriate to the student themselves. Because it wouldn't be such a big deal to have a little card reader on the side of all our catalogue PCs that are scattered all over the library. Be really interested to come up with something that would look at that student when they scan the card and say, oh, I know what course they're on, I know what books they're borrowing, I know what their colleagues are going on. All their colleagues have gone on FAME, but they haven't. I'll push a tutorial for FAME to the front and deliver sort of context appropriate that way, sort of knowing what the student does and what their colleagues do, and pushing information there. I suppose I can get my hand on some money to buy some little RFID readers or not. I doubt it, the way the financial situation is at the minute. But I just finished by saying, well, let me contact details and more stuff by me doing the talk. It does say on here, it's sort of the easiest way to get a QR code reader if you don't. Be really nice if people could try and install them, have a play with themselves, and think they could work for themselves. Any questions?
We've probably got time for one, but then we're competing with lunch, so you might have to come and speak to Andy.
Would you consider promoting them in IL sessions for this year? Because if you could just have if you could tell them you're not going to get charged, and then maybe more people would use them.
Yeah, it's. We wonder whether to push it in induction. The worry is to get bombarded with so many things at the start of the year, it's whether it's worthwhile, but yeah, it's one of the possibilities to give it on a standard handout we give out to all first years and say, have a go at this because it's free. Yeah.
me thank Andy for... I'm afraid it's lunchtime now, so my belly said it's time for over. I'm taking too many notes, and then I was like, I'm not tired.